In Tulia, Texas today, another twist in the saga of that town's now notorious drug bust. 12 people convicted in a now discredited drug sting were released from prison today. They're among the 39 people, nearly all of them black, who were charged and convicted 3 years ago of drug trafficking, solely on the testimony of one undercover sheriff's deputy. They received prison sentences as long as 90 years. But over the last few weeks, the Tulia cases have fallen apart, and the sheriff's deputy has been indicted for lying under oath. NPR's Wade Goodwin reports on how a drug sting gone awry is forcing a town in the Texas panhandle to confront the painful issue of race.
To understand what happened in Tulia, you must keep in mind a key component of the story's context. This is a small town out in the middle of a lot of empty Texas.
Everybody knows everybody. Everybody knows everything.
Georgia Proctor is a bank teller whose husband was a jury foreman on one of the Tulia drug cases. She recalls the first time she heard there was a drug problem in Tulia.
We were sitting at the supper table one night, and my husband mentioned that he had had to go for a drug test. His company does random drug testing. And I just made the remark, well, I wonder how long it'll be before they start drug testing in the schools. And our son said, well, they better not here, or we won't have a football team.
Then some of Proctor's friends began pointing things out to her when they drove around town.
I've had several people mention to me, you know, just maybe pointing out that somebody was a drug dealer.
Georgia Proctor says in Tulia, you cannot hide who you are and what you do, that even though Deputy Sheriff Tom Coleman has proven to be a liar, she knows the truth.
I think the people that they got are the right people, yes. When you see grandparents raising babies because their parents won't take responsibility for them, because they're off doing their thing, then you know there's a problem.
When Sheriff Larry Stewart and his new deputy arrested 46 people in a massive undercover drug sting, most of the white citizens of Tulia nodded their heads in approval. An editorial in the town newspaper quickly called the defendants scumbags and said the town was better off without them. Most of those arrested had been in trouble with the law before, some seriously, others for misdemeanors like fighting or drug possession. There were some strange aspects to the sting, however. For example, 4 children from one family were all arrested. And some of the black people who were charged as drug dealers didn't live in Tulia anymore. They had jobs elsewhere and returned only for family visits. It gradually began to be apparent that all of the cases would rest solely on the word of the undercover deputy. There were no audio tapes, no videotapes, no other witnesses to the alleged drug deals. Nobody in Tulia really knew Deputy Tom Coleman. He wasn't from around there, but they knew their sheriff, Larry Stewart. He was a deacon in the Baptist church. He'd grown up in Tulia and was a respected man in the county. 2 days after the sting, Larry Stewart said in the local newspaper that Tom Coleman was a man of integrity and professionalism. That was all people needed to hear.
Most of those that were arrested were known users and dealers, and nobody was surprised at the names, not because they were black, just because they had a history.
Reverend Bill Gunther is the pastor of the Assembly of God Church in Tulia.
And immediately these groups started shouting racism, and this is racist, and started throwing about accusations that our police and our sheriff and our courts were racist, and that the town was racist, and we're trying to get rid of our black citizens.
The man who changed the course of Tulia history is a self-described redneck farmer, an old-timer who lives in Vigo, a wide place in the road about 30 miles outside town. Unlike most other whites in Swisher County, Gary Gardner knew some of the African Americans who'd been arrested. They'd worked as farmhands for him over the years. And he was made doubly suspicious by the fact that of the 46 people arrested, only one of them was white.
It had become socially acceptable to label anyone in that segment of the community of lower income, not such a good reputation. It was acceptable to refer to you as a drug dealer. The problem is that the term drug dealer got to where it was just applied to everyone.
Gardner says that while race is an important factor in how many in Tulia see things, religious fundamentalism is even more important. Gardner believes the tendency here is to see behavior as either right or wrong, and that the difference between immoral behavior and illegal behavior is not a difference that is going to impress too many in Tulia.
The social stigma in Tulia is still Bible Belt. There was a lot of resentment. Some of these young mothers were single mothers, never been married, maybe had two kids living in welfare housing, like subsidized housing. And a lot of people took extreme offense at that.
For generations, Tulia's economy was based on irrigation farming using water from the Ogallala Aquifer. Wheat, milo, and cotton extended to where the Texas plains met the sky. But they were all living on borrowed time. Beginning in the mid-1970s, the water table began to drop. Decades of pumping had taken its toll on the aquifer, and the lifeblood that had sustained a way of life began to dry up. Gardner used to farm, crop dust, and install irrigation wells. Now he raises bloodhound puppies to sell. Gardner says the town's black families were no longer seen as the necessary farmhands they once had been. Tulia's poor black community was viewed as a source of trouble, a source of drugs, a threat to the town's decent people.
It became apparent to me what was happening to low-income people. People that were defenseless in Tulia that were considered trash, they were gone. Tulia had set up a production line to send everybody they wanted out of town to the pen. If you didn't take the hint and leave town, you're going to the pen.
The first trial sent a shockwave through Gardner and Tulia's black community. The defendant was a 60-year-old hog farmer named Joe Moore, and on Deputy Tom Coleman's testimony, he was convicted of selling a small amount of cocaine and sentenced to 90 years in prison. Moore had worked for Gardner as a farmhand, and Gardner thought the conviction was ludicrous. He began writing letters to the local paper, to the other prisoners in jail, to the district attorney and the judge, accusing Coleman of being a liar, all to no avail.
Basically, the consensus was in Tulia that there's 500 of us writing letters and raising hell saying there was nothing wrong with this drug sting. Therefore, majority opinion rules, there was nothing wrong with it.
After Joe Moore's sentence, some defendants began to plead guilty rather than go to trial. Others fought, and in quick succession, there were 8 more trials, all resulting in guilty verdicts. It was a mistake to go to trial. Defendants got sentences of 45 years, 60 years. The one white defendant got 320 years. During one of the early trials, a defense lawyer happened to ask blindly if Deputy Coleman had ever been arrested, and Coleman began to equivocate. The jury was sent out of the room, and the judge discovered that Coleman, in his previous job as deputy sheriff in another county, had stolen thousands of dollars in merchandise from the store owners there. Coleman always promised he'd pay, but eventually he left town owing $7,000. He even stole the gas he used to leave the county. 6 months into his undercover drug sting in Tulia, Tom Coleman was indicted for theft and misuse of an official position. Sheriff Larry Stewart, who declined to comment for this story, was forced into the embarrassing position of having to arrest his deputy. He drove Coleman out of town to the county line and arrested him in the privacy of his patrol car. But along with the Tulia district attorney, they managed to keep the arrest quiet. The charges were eventually dropped after Coleman agreed to pay Cochran County merchants full restitution. Reverend Gunther picks up the story there.
When questions first came up about Coleman, about his past, there were accusations, and that's all they were accusations. The original judge, Judge Self, ruled that that information could not be brought out in court. It was prejudicial.
In the first 3 trials, State District Judge Ed Self did not know about Tom Coleman and the Cochran County merchants. When he did find out, he sealed the information and refused to let defense attorneys admit it as evidence of Coleman's questionable credibility. 3 people had already been convicted, and more trials lay ahead. The juries weren't going to hear about Coleman's theft problems in Cochran County, but Vigo farmer Gary Gardner just wouldn't go away. The state's premier political journal, the Texas Observer, got to the story first. other outlets began to pay attention. Then the ACLU and the NAACP. It took 3 years, but finally the Texas Court of Criminal Appeals began to ask questions about Tom Coleman. Reverend Gunther says that's when it fell apart.
They brought in an outside judge and a special prosecutor, and they brought Coleman in, and they questioned him under oath there, and he lied. So what are you going to do?
In an evidentiary hearing, Coleman's story collapsed in a tidal wave of contradictions. It became such a bloodletting, the visiting judge finally stopped it and urged Tulia officials to throw in the towel. They did, agreeing to stipulate that Tom Coleman was not a reliable witness under oath. A few weeks later, the state legislature passed a bill expediting the release of those in prison.
What are we doing here?
Remember the family that had four children arrested? That was Maddie White's family. She says after the evidentiary hearing, things began to change a little in Tulia. It's not that anybody has apologized, but White says everyone is a lot friendlier now.
You know, and they smile at me, hold the door open, and I'm like, who is that? And before, it wasn't like that.
As for the Whites and Tulia, they are angry and bitter about all the negative media attention. In their frustration, some made statements to television news organizations that furthered the impression that the white community in Tulia is racist. But one lesson has gotten through loud and clear. Now, when you ask folks in Tulia about the drug sting, they say that while the town tried to do the right thing, it went about it the wrong way. Reverend Gunther's feelings are shared by many.
Well, it makes everybody feel very bad because what is lost in all this, of course, is the fact that some of those people were guilty.
But try to explain to Gary Gardner how badly the white community in Tulia has been wounded by the torrent of negative publicity, and the old farmer just laughs.
What is it that Forrest Gump says? Stupid is as stupid does. If you don't write a stupid letter to the editor, people don't read it. Keep your damn mouth shut, and people won't know you're a fool. Open your mouth, and they'll damn sure know it.
Today, for the first time in 3 years, a small group of citizens from Tulia will step outside the gates of the state prison and head for home. Maddie White is having a big barbecue in her backyard to celebrate. Wade Goodwin, NPR News.